You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
All right, welcome back to the Bachelor Podcast. It is week 6 of Katie, and joining us as always is our own Katie, Katie Waite. Hello, Katie.
Hello.
And a special guest who was the special guest of the other Katie, the Bachelorette Katie, and that is Max.
Hey.
Max, hello. Welcome to the Bachelor Podcast.
Thanks for having me, guys.
You are now a part of Bachelor Nation. When we first connected, you say you've been talking a lot of Bachelor, Bachelorette this week. What's the experience been like? Forget about it on the show, but this sort of like now you're in the ethos.
I just feel like a fan who got to do it. So now I feel like I get just to, I text all my friends who are Bachelor Nation. Like I got to be on Nick Viall's podcast yesterday and we hung and he was like, I wish I had your voice as a singing voice. And I like text all my friends like, oh my God, I'm fanboying so hard. Nick is so handsome and he's lived so close to me. I hope we become best friends. Like all that kind of stuff, you know, that's just my life right now. Just enjoying the experience of the show, which has been fun.
Explain to people before we get into the episode how you came to be, because you are not always a Bachelor fan. This is a newish thing to you.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I had never watched the show. I never watched any reality TV before quarantine. And then I went down the deep dive. I saw this show, Love is Blind, which maybe people who are Bachelor fans saw as well. And my wife was halfway through it. And I was like, all right, I'll watch this. And then I had to start it from the beginning. But there was only one season. And I went, oh, my God, I need my addiction filled. Where can I go?
I need more.
I need more. So then I looked up the best seasons of The Bachelor. I was like, all right, let me do this. Top 10 seasons. Start with Sean's season. And then slowly the hyper binge began while my wife was pregnant and we really couldn't do much. So, you know, 23 seasons later, I got to finally perform on the show within 2 years, 23 seasons. Yep. And it's
what was
awesome.
Your favorite season that you binged?
Okay, I would say it's tricky. It's Sean, JoJo's, or maybe Colton's. I mean, Colton's was pretty. That was a pretty drama filled season. That was pretty wild. We all know that the jump over the fence. That was a big.
Well, moment. So here's the thing. Watching it live, we saw this tease the whole time. When you're watching it on demand, do they show any of that stuff as like coming up this season?
Oh, yeah, yeah. They show it all. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so you know that's coming. That's not a surprise to you. You're waiting for it just like we were.
They always do the thing, even when you... So, I mean, if I really had to get into it, the seasons aren't available everywhere. So once I was, like, very far into my binge, I had to, like, buy them on YouTube. It started being a process. I started having to really dig in. And my wife was like, are you really doing this again? Are you getting another season? And then they have the recap seasons now on Hulu. So I, like part of those 23 were the recaps. So I like skipped forward to the juicy bits. But yeah, it was pretty great because they still do the intro where it's like, oh, yes, on this episode, it's going to be the craziest season you've ever seen. La, la, la.
Have you guys experienced Bachelor in Paradise yet?
Oh, yeah. I went down on that binge, too. I'm definitely going to do this season of Bachelor in Paradise. I did like three. So then it became a thing because my mother-in-law is big into the show. And we would just joke about it. I was like, Mama Binks, we call her. I was like, Mama Binks, I'm going to get on this show just for you and me. Okay, baby, I'm going to get on. I'm going to perform. So we would like watch while Emily was pregnant into having the baby. Again, it's quarantine-ish over that time. So it was our cute little thing. And we watched Paradise as at one point, that's when I went in. I was like, I've never done this part of the franchise, and she was like, oh, it's the best part. What are you doing?
Did you know all of the people that quote unquote won, or was this all surprises to you?
So what was amazing about my nostalgia hyper binge was that I would bounce around and, you know, suddenly we're in the early 2000s, suddenly we're in the 2010s. It's just like I would hyper binge them. For example, I saw Nick, I hyper binge Nick's seasons basically like in a row, like him being on The Bachelorette and then another Bachelor
and
then The Bachelor. Like it was so interesting to see the growth and like he looks so different in all of them. So that was what was interesting was the jump around almost. I remember, I think I saw the Paradise one where Sean was on it and I was like, oh wait, I saw Sean's season first. This is crazy to like go back in time before he was the Bachelor. So yeah, it was a very specific, and I wonder if many other people can relate to the nostalgia hyper binge.
Yeah, so you had this hyper binge, as you like to call it.
Yeah.
Is it hard now to get back into, or not even back, but start for the first time ever from the beginning and do like one episode at a time?
Oh yeah, super weird. That was my first experience with that, was Tayshia's season, and Claire Tayshia's season. I don't know what we call that.
Yeah.
Tayshia's season.
Yeah, we call it a mess is generally what we call it.
It was a vibe. That was my first time experiencing that, and I was like, oh, this is not, I can't just watch all of them. This is so weird. So yeah, it's kind of nice to kind of have the, I don't know what's going to happen this season, honestly, even though I have all the little insiders, but it's kind of nice not to know. I'm excited to see.
So do you tell people that you know now, like, listen, I don't want to know what's happening. Like, we can talk about it, but don't text me with, hey, guess who just got eliminated, or, you know, guess who I know is going to go to hometowns.
Oh, totally. Yeah. No, I don't want to know. I know you could go to like Reality Steve and all that kind of stuff and like ruin it for yourself, but I won't do that.
We are a spoiler-free podcast, and I don't even mean just sharing it with the audience, but watching it blind. Good. So more than anything, it's so I can say really dumb stuff about who's going to win, and I can just be like, well, why would I know? I don't look at the spoilers, and it gives me a little bit of an out, because I think we all just need reasons when you're watching something like this to have ridiculous hot takes and just be able to defend them.
Absolutely. You need to be like, this is my top four or whatever.
Oh, Hunter.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah. Nick asked me that question yesterday for the first time. I was like, oh, I haven't thought about that. I don't usually, funny enough, do that, but maybe it's fun to do that. Do you guys do that? Do that, like pick your top four?
Up until this season, we stopped because Katie always won. We would actually do a fantasy draft where we would alternate picking people that we, you know, would want on our team. But Katie is so good because she is our Bachelor Nation historian. She just crushed it. It wasn't fair. It was like LeBron going against like a middle schooler every time. And it just, I couldn't do it anymore.
Honestly, it was always random. You just, because we started at the beginning. So before we even knew these guys or girls, whatever season, it was just, I don't know. I guess I have a gift, you know.
You do.
She is our expert here. And so now you're the new era expert because you binged it all, but Katie is the OG expert.
Oh, absolutely. Mad respect. Well, so
we got to dive into this episode because not only were you the star, but you got some very interesting behind the scenes info. I can only imagine from your time in beautiful New Mexico. So this whole thing starts out with Katie, Tayshia, Caitlin. And for some reason, and Katie even mentioned this on social media, like she took this thing from Seinfeld where you have to be the master of your domain, which has got to be one of the top 10 weirdest Bachelor Nation moments ever, with these three women talking about trying to ask these guys not to pleasure themselves.
Yeah, totally.
And not only that, but Tayshia and Caitlin just had no idea what she was talking about at first.
Have they never seen Seinfeld?
I guess not.
Oh, my Lord. And, you know, the fact that they sandwich it with, oh, my God, I'm falling in love with these multiple guys. Oh, by the way, let's have them not masturbate. Great. This is setting the mood.
I think they know they got a little competition with Too Hot to Handle as another, you know, big reality show out there. I think they took a little tip from that book. They were like, oh, let's see what we could spice it up in Bachelor.
I'm actually surprised they didn't give us the picture of Katie with like a lock around her or whatever, just to try to take the same visual.
It was definitely a cheekier moment, but I don't know if it was her idea or his producers, but it was definitely a choice. They made a choice there.
And then to go with Operation Whoa Whoa, I don't know if there's a trademark issue with the Seinfeld stuff, and so maybe that's why they went away from it, but Operation Whoa Whoa, I think we could have probably done without.
Yeah,
you know, I don't have an alternate, but maybe we didn't need Operation anything. But
that's what I'm saying. Like, do we really need to name it? I mean, Operation Blake Stay Out of the Shower. I mean,
oh my gosh,
everybody just immediately went to
somehow, I guess.
And I was staying on the same floor as all of those bachelors. And I'm pretty sure, obviously, this is the week I was there because I had to quarantine for a week. So now all I'm thinking is they're all in their rooms around me. Just what are they doing? Who knows? I didn't even think about this.
The fact that it's that big of a it's that big of an issue that we need to ask the guys to stop.
I guess everybody got their own room this season, which is, or I think some people shared rooms, but like that's kind of probably why they, you know, I can't imagine they're doing that if they're bunked up at the usual house, you know?
Oh, geez. So, the thing is that
they said that they were like sharing these things with Katie. Like, how did this come about? Like,
oh, man.
I don't want to know. I
understand sex positive is a big sort of bingo term this season, and that's great. Yeah. And I'm, from day one, like long before she was the bachelorette, like amen, all down with that. But at the same time, sex positive or not, with someone you're dating, maybe like week one or week two or maybe ever, are you really like, so when I went back to the hotel last night?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
What we saw after Operation Whoa was the beginning of this Hunter as the number one villain. They lay the groundwork of Greg saying how, like, not understanding how the seasons work. Hunter is the expert. Oh, well, no, some people have been on multiple one-on-ones. And so basically, and this is the only time I'll ever do it, Katie, but Hunter is basically our Katie. He is the bachelor expert of the house.
Yeah, what's up?
I don't think that's a compliment.
Well, for him it is, I guess, because being compared to you. And I'm not here to defend Hunter, but is it really bad that he knows about the show? Because I rag on these guys all the time when they act, or girls, act shocked about different things that happen on this show. And I'm like, have you never seen the show?
Yeah, it goes both ways. I mean, I guess if I know somebody recently who I was like, I wonder who actually like applies. And then he was like, yeah, I think I'm going to apply next year. I've never really seen it. And I thought, oh, you're the person. This is amazing. I finally met somebody who's just like down to do it and has never seen it. But I would guess otherwise that, yeah, with Hunter, it just, I guess I said this the other day too. He seems like he's just a very transparent guy, because we kind of fell in love with him when he was very open in that trust circle of the therapy talk. That was a really emotional moment when he was so open about his divorce. And that's, I feel like that's the first time I noticed him on the show. And so him being so open and being such a diehard fan, I think it goes both ways. And they've definitely painted him in a pretty bad light in these last few episodes. He's definitely the villain that they wanted the drama for. But, you know, I don't know. I think it goes both ways when you're that honest about it. But also, I think they forget they're being filmed. Like in that moment, he definitely forgot he was on the couch and had a mic on talking about his top four, which apparently seems to happen a lot with these guys who are just like in the bubble. And
how could it not? I mean, especially once you get down to this number, aren't you looking around the same way we are watching and being like, yeah, there's no way that Brendan is going anywhere. Or there's no, like, you have to know that certain people just aren't going to win.
Totally. Fun tea. I used to, in my room, I would see Hunter run 30 paces back and forth for like an hour every day before I knew who he was. And now looking back at all these people I would like see during my quarantine at the show, it's so funny to connect the dots and be like, oh, that super intense small man freaking out every day running was going through this. I could say that because I'm a small man.
This is why he was
doing
that.
Yes.
This is why he was doing it. He was just so intense. I was like, damn, this dude's getting it in right now. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord. Well, listen, I understand Hunter got the villain edit. So it wasn't just that the things he did were so bad. It was that we saw these clips of, there have to be other guys that talk about like, hey, who do you think she's having better relationships with? Just basically use different words as opposed to, well, the top four, I would say, or like people going to hometowns are, they just phrase it differently.
Totally.
Yeah.
He's just saying what we're all thinking. And you're like, wait, you're not allowed to do that. You're supposed to be just in this. What do you mean?
Well, the only one-on-one, and really one of the few, one, I mean, every week we keep waiting to see, like, are we going to get a lot of one-on-ones? And we're lucky these days if we get one.
Yeah.
And we get one. And not only is it featuring Justin, but it's featuring our guest here, Max. And, the date itself is just sort of, it's like when they open the book and like, okay, what's the, especially in quarantine, like what date haven't we used yet that we've used every other season? Like, oh, let's do the wedding date.
Oh, man.
And to, you know, have these people who have been on like half a date to try to act like a married couple is always just so weird to me. And it's both very, of them handle awkward. Themselves very well, mm-hmm. but it's just, you're asking them to, I guess, look forward and say things that you would say then. So like, basically they're both saying, oh, I love you and I'm in love with you,
but this is our first date.
Yes.
This is our first date. It's just, a move. It's an experience that, you know, we most of us, I never had that experience. So I guess it's something you talk about. I was talking about that with Nick because he was like, yeah, I have a lot of those from my seasons and they have not affected my life at all. And because we were talking about, is it weird that you have like these fake wedding photos with somebody that you kind of dated? So I guess kind of dated, exactly. For us, we feel like it's super weird, but for them, they don't think it's quite as awkward. So, you know, I guess it's not that bad.
And, you know, at dinner, dug into the deep stuff again. And that's what I think one of the things I like best about Katie is with everyone. She's like, let's go. Like, I'm not trying to kick the can down the road. Like, so right into, hey, this wedding date sucked for me because my father's not going to be at my wedding. And you can't ask for his blessing. And like, just both feet in, like just diving in, which I really appreciated.
Yeah, and I did not expect all of that at once with the biological father and all of those big reveals. That was very authentic. She's very genuine. She definitely wears her heart on her sleeve, which I think is the only way to hopefully, you know, find that right person.
Crazy that this was really the first time hearing this story. Like we got her sexual assault story twice already in this season. Yep. But everyone, like, no one knew about this story about her biological father, which was, I don't know if they were waiting to drop this. So, you know, we had something else to pair her with, but it was crazy that this was the first time hearing about such a big part of her life.
Totally. Yeah. Now, she got some big ones.
I think we need to know though, is this, I'm sure they'll dive deeper into it, especially when her family gets involved, but is this someone who wants to be in her life now that she's been on TV? Or has this always been going on? Like, there's just a can of worms that, I mean, we need to know more.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that. That's the first time someone brought that up. Yeah, that's very true. Oof.
Justin gets the rose, and Katie drops the L word, all says beginning of what could be love. But still, I mean, personally, listen, he seems like a really genuine dude, and she talked about how there's a spark. I don't see it. I don't know about you guys. I just think they seem sort of like buddies.
Oh no, I watched them make out for like an hour and I didn't see it. I knew, and that was the funniest thing because I was like, there was chemistry, but I was like, oh no, her heart's somewhere else. I know it. This is not the guy.
Imagine if you just stood up there and said it and was like, it's not him.
Well, hilarious. I know I'm jumping forward, but I bought this because the song is called Butterfly. So I got this Forever Butterfly and planned to give it to them. And I gave it to them. I was like, hopefully, you know, this lasts as long as your relationship and you guys are together forever. And as I'm giving it to them, I'm like, nope, not going to happen. This is definitely not the guy who's going to be. I hope she keeps this anyway, but what am I going to do?
It kind of goes into another question. Like, is it, how awkward is it to just be singing like an intimate song for just two people that maybe aren't paying attention to you and just kind of making out in front of you?
Oh, as awkward as you can imagine, which is, as a fan of the show, I was always thinking, I wonder what this is going to be like when it's just literally two people for a full band concert for just them. And the way it works is you have to sing. I did sing multiple songs and I sang the same song twice in front of them. So I sang that song and then Lights Down Low and then the same song again. And I go, you want to, well, here's that one I played again for you like 3.5 minutes ago. But they were really cool about it. I mean, after I sang it the first time, they were staring. Like, Justin was death staring me the first take of me singing the song. And I was like, man, this is going to suck. This is not. He was either death staring me like 5 feet away from me and then no hesitation, make out, just right into the make out. And as it happens, I'm like, oh, well, I'm going to look away, obviously. I don't want to stare at you guys.
You don't want to make eye contact.
But as it happens so quick, you just go, oh, I feel weird looking at this. So I start singing away and singing back and occasional glances forward at them. And yeah, it was amazing though. I cherish the awkward memory because then in the middle, I was like, so how was your date today? I heard you guys had a good wedding day. And they're like, yeah, man, it was great. Thanks so much. Thanks for doing this. I'm just like, I guess we're just talking and my band's just waiting for me to cue the next song. And Well, here we go.
So you played, like, obviously you played the two songs. Did you only play Butterflies, the new single, twice? Or did you do Lights Down Low twice? Like,
so just Butterflies and then Lights Down Low and then Butterflies again. So just a little three song, two of the same song set for them. And at first they were like, you want to do a bunch of songs? I was like, I don't think that, we don't have to do that. It's okay. Let's just
do sure if that's necessary.
The one that's going to be on TV and like just give them a taste. But it was great. And then we ended up just like talking afterward and they're breaking down the lights. That was the weirdest part for me. When we were just talking, I was like, so where are you from? And I'm like, are you guys still on this date? Are you just going to like go back to your rooms now?
So it's the three of you just chatting
while they're breaking down the lights and they're breaking down the set essentially. And we're all just in a little circle talking. And, you know, very nice people. But then all I could think was like, okay, are you both going to say goodnight after this? And then just the date is done. Is this how this works? That was the most fascinating part to me.
Did you ask to put the rose on?
I should have asked for so much more, but I did feel like I got to be a spy all week. I just like, I recorded Blake's interview when he came in and broke into the house, basically, you know, when they were like, you know, midway through, he literally was, it must've been the interview. They didn't air right after he's in the room awkwardly with all of them. And they hate that he's there. And the producer's like, what does it feel like to be the most hated guy in the house? And just, I'm on my balcony, just like recording it all. Just like, who is this person? Cause I couldn't see his face. And I was just trying to figure out like, okay, he's been on two other seasons. Who in my brain, he's a wildlife guy. So that to me I already felt spoiled. I was like, no, don't ask for more. You've already gotten to be a spy all week.
And how much secret footage did you take then? Because you're
mentioning so much. I have a series on my phone called Bachelor in the Wild, where it was just like very sad bachelors in their suits walking by my room, no cameras. Just like I have the one guy, and he's just back and forth. Something bad has happened, and he's very sad about it. And he's staring out at the mountains, and I'm being such a jerk just filming it. But I'm like, you signed up for this, baby. This is your life now.
This is the smallest camera you're ever gonna see.
You're always on camera. You're Mike. I just watch it sometimes when I need a moment to feel some joy.
So when are you sharing this with Bachelor Nation? This is the footage we need.
I have to ask them what's okay, because I don't want to step on any toes. And the producers were so cool to me. I don't want to mess around, but I will ask, because I feel like everybody needs it. Now that they've seen it, there's no spoilers anymore. So I guess, you know, let's go.
Especially the Blake thing. I mean, how funny, especially like, were you commenting as you're filming it can you hear yourself talking?
I already feel so bad. It's like the second day that I'm quarantining and I'm on the first floor and I'm looking, you know, I was sitting on my little patio, I guess. And he's probably like right outside to the right where I can't see. So I just filmed the ground basically and have all the audio where they're talking and it's like super in the distance. But I just was like on needles, just waiting to see what would happen next. So yeah, I'll send it to you guys. F it. You know what? Producers, so sorry.
Let's do it. We will put it. We will actually take you off the hook. We will say we hacked your phone and we'll post it. And then that way you're in the clear. Like, oh, I don't know how they got it.
Oh, bad security on my iPhone.
Well, listen, Butterflies is top 20 on iTunes after that performance. Oh, so like, awesome. No big deal, you know, like not only are you part of this show that you've loved, but, you know, the song's kind of taken off. So
thank you, baby.
Especially after you spent all that money on episodes, we need to help you out. Yeah. So people, buy it, stream it. Butterflies. we got to help this guy out. He's part of our family now.
Reimburse
my. He spent all his money on buying past seasons.
No more diapers. I'm like begging for diapers for my baby. I spent it all on YouTube seasons.
Let's blow through the less important parts of this episode now, because your date was obviously the most important and one of the few one-on-ones we've seen. There was another date, and it was a group date that I know we say this over and over, but was probably one of the weirdest things that we've seen in a while.
They just didn't roast each other enough. I was like, if we're doing this, give me the juicy stuff, guys. What are we doing
here? That's what I was going to say. Like, I think they had too high of hopes for this date, and it just did not happen the way that it should have happened.
I will say roasting is an art, though. Do you guys know the comedian Andrew Schultz? He's like he's just like a roasting comedian. And I did this. I'm a big Knicks fan. I have my hat on right now. And anyway, long story short, I did the playoffs when we won a game, and he roasted me. He said that I looked like the Scooter Braun with fetal alcohol syndrome, which is like a very specific thing. And I think with any roasts, you just gotta like, you just gotta be like, we're doing this. Hell yeah. Kind of take it in stride, you know? I was kind of stoked because he's such a like legendary roaster. But he complimented my vocals. He's like, Scooter Braun with the vocals too. And I was like, damn, this, we're doing this. But yeah, in this moment, I just wanted this is the permission, everybody. Like, don't poke fun at each other. You don't have to be afraid. But I guess it's like cancel culture year where everybody's afraid to say something that they're
going to get. Well, but especially you have these guys talking a big game leading into it about how like, oh yeah, we're going to destroy Hunter and all this stuff. And then all they end up having is after they all have these lame poem was sweet, fine. But that's not why we're here, you know? No, and
we,
so they have
we
all these-
more of that heart of gold. That gold line was the best roast when he's like, I know you're a leprechaun, but your heart of gold isn't for you.
Yeah. And it was all like they were pulling teeth. I mean, you had these drag queen all stars who all they do is roast people for a living. And they're watching this and you can just see them getting bored.
So bored.
And they're like, guys, we have to say something. And then they're like, well, Hunter has a top four. Woo. Yeah. It felt like something that had this great potential. You had Shay and you had Monet, these two experts. They even walked around with each of them to try to help them out. And then you get up there, and I don't know if it's stage fright or what, but it's just so lame.
That's the exact word they used.
And even Hunter, who had a chance to, I think, stand out from all of this crap that was being thrown at him, decides to try to take the higher road on a date where specifically you're not supposed to take the high road.
Yeah.
And instead is like, I'm here for Katie and I'm falling in love with you, even though he's specific. Like, that's the one thing he just said he wasn't.
Oh, he was scared. He knew he was on the chopping block if he didn't turn it around. And that's kind of the worst time ever to say something like that, you know? I can understand you're under pressure, but come on, man. Don't throw around something that's so special, especially in that circumstance.
And especially, and he doesn't know, obviously, but when one of the other guys heard you say that you weren't in love with her yet, I was kind of surprised that, and I don't remember if it was Shay or Monet, but whoever was with him, I'm surprised that they didn't rat him out say, I was literally in that conversation and you're lying right now.
That would have been the spice that they were looking for. If the queens called him out, that would have been great.
But Katie, for some reason in the cocktail party, was talking about how this is so great. And oh my God, everything. And I understand it's the dice up of what could go wrong. Dun, dun, dun. And we're leading to the what's going to go wrong. What did she take from that date where she's thinking like, oh, this is such a great day?
I don't think she remembered what date she was on.
And even in her one-on-ones, you have people like Blake who are basically telling her that he visits himself multiple times in a day.
Oh, yeah.
Again, we're pretty much done with that. But I think it was Andrew who is saying, oh, you know, I'm pent up just like you are. She never said she was participating in said challenge.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, true. True.
I appreciate him trying to relate, but she was very clear that she was only talking about the guys.
True. That's a very good point.
James decides he's going to open the floodgates. And we're like, the one thing you don't do on this show, although this season they've been given that sign, unfortunately, because every time they talk junk about someone and we've compared it to Survivor. These guys think they're on Survivor and they can vote people off the island. Unfortunately, so far it's worked. Yes. James opens the floodgates and then everybody's decided it's time to rip on Hunter.
It was an intense moment for sure.
So intense. Katie, not our Katie, I hope, literally sick and has to run and puke, still rejoins the guys and is like, yeah, never mind. Not only are we done, but I'm not handing out a rose. Mm-hmm. And you have these guys starting to get pissed off. It's not Hunter's fault. She's upset because guys are talking about Hunter to her.
Which I understand, but this is what she's been asking them this whole season, is to be honest. And if someone's not there for quote-unquote the right reasons, to let her know and speak out. And I understand in all the seasons past that like this is the thing not to do, but this season it's been pretty much the opposite, and she's really been asking for it.
Because she was it. I didn't remember this, but she was the whistleblower for her season, I guess. And that yeah. I didn't remember until brought up. And then it made a lot more sense. Obviously, she empathizes because she knows that. But I think she also probably knows that when you know you don't have maybe the connection with the lead in quite the same way as other people. There's like three types of contestants, I feel like. There's the person who knows they're secure with their relationship, so they feel like they don't have to get involved in it. There's the person who knows they don't really have the connection, but like has a bond with the group, so they want to like protect her as the sister or whatever it is. Like they care about mm-hmm. her still, but they want to get involved with the drama because they're like a little camp. And there's the third who we don't see, who like don't make drama and also know they'd have a relationship. And then we're just like, who's this guy? I've never seen this guy before. So oh like that's God. Basically
yeah, us
viewer. We're just like, wait, this guy was here? When he got a rose? I didn't even know he was a part of this.
They're like, you're playing a trick. This guy has not been on this season. You're just throwing this random dude in.
Brendan's been
DMing
that's
how I felt. Bunch. That's how I feel about Brendan.
He seems so nice. That's what everybody has been bringing him up from this episode. It's like, wait, he got the rose.
Well, listen, you have to tell Brendan to come to us. Yes. Send him over. We'll let him come up here and stake his claim as someone that needs to be remembered because he yes. was actually on these episodes.
Yes.
We will
yes.
make it official for him. Once we got through this madness, we get to the next morning and some.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
One who I think I ragged on a little bit because he was a little jetty, you know, bringing the guitar everywhere. That's Connor.
Kaka.
This date was so pro-Connor. They were going to the nth degree, like, you're keeping Connor. Because
yeah.
we're just going to do a cookout. We're not doing anything risky. And we're going to bring Caitlin and Jason in. And all they're going to do is tell you how amazing Connor is the whole time.
By the way, this is the first time I actually, like, I'll be honest, Tayshia and Caitlin, I think that it's been a little trickier to, like, fill the void of sort of the authority figure of a host. And we've been trying, I think that it's been an experiment. How do we have these two co-hosts? And this was the first time I actually really liked this situation of a host being a part of this date and showing that it could happen, you know. But up until here, it's been a little wishy-washy of like, where does this really stand? How does this really enhance the show, even though I like both of them as people? So this was the first time I was into it. I don't know how yeah. you guys felt. Did you guys think it was cute? I've had people have differing opinions on this for me.
I just love Caitlin and Jason, so I think that's more of a biased question for me. So, but no, I thought it was great. And like Ryan said, I think it was kind of set up to lift Connor up a little bit more because they probably yeah. started seeing Katie a little bit yeah. doubting herself about him.
Oh, and the kiss thing, oh, it breaks my heart. The whole kiss thing is so savage.
I thought it was heading in a good direction. And then once she's in sweatshirt and jeans, not a good sign.
Again, I saw him walking around with the ukulele a few days. Like, I was like, interesting. I wonder who this
guy is. So actually, so as a songwriter, yeah. we had this argument or discussion last week. You know, he writes the song for her that he plays in the cocktail hour or whatever. What do you think the odds are that he actually wrote that while there and not 4 months prior at home?
Oh, yeah. Oh, totally wrote it at home. But you know what? I will say they were quarantined for a very like weeks, and you go a little crazy when you're stuck in a hotel room in these quarantines. So maybe he did write it while he was there. But yeah, it definitely was prior, I think.
I appreciate her because it isn't often when people have songs written about them, you know, unless you're Max's wife, then you get multiple. But so I get the flattery, but at the same time, to actually think like, you just came up with that right now?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That's what we get. I thought it was cute. And I do love Jason and Caitlin. And I didn't even know Jason was there. So the fact that they could utilize him like that, I thought was perfect. Mm-hmm. But it was so clearly like, Connor, Connor, Connor. And yeah. For her to put it all on a kiss, oof. You know, it was like they tossing it up to Connor on the way out after he gets kicked off. And be like, how bad of a kisser am I? I'm like,
yeah. Handled it so beautifully, though, the way that he really just listened to her when she's breaking it off with him. And he just knows what's happening. And, you know, that was a tender moment. And by the way, have we ever seen, I don't think I have in my 23 seasons of this show, have I ever seen somebody come back to the group after they get kicked out of a one? That was new, right? I felt very surprised.
I've never seen that, because it usually they usually bring a, you know, a big crew guy in and roll the suitcase out, make done. It super dramatic. But maybe they knew how these guys would react to him leaving. Yeah, like they were bawling. Yeah.
They loved him.
So we always get on some of these reactions because, like, listen, only one person at the end of this is going to be the last person standing, yes. If we even get that far. I don't know how upset you really want to be, but usually it's more just like, sorry, bro, or,
yeah, of course.
You know, you're just missing your friend. But for people to be, I'm trying to be more like you, and you have multiple people bawling, and it's not even just like Greg, who, you know, depending on who you listen to, took some acting classes, so maybe he's trying to work on his art a little bit. But everybody to a person seemingly... Even Hunter was, you know, maybe he was just trying to join the crowd, but like everyone was ready to cry. Ugh. And I
Michael
think
A with his little, kiss on his face. I don't know if anybody else caught that. Like, quick cheek kiss. God, I love Michael A. That's my guy.
Oh my God, I do too.
We're getting to the point now where we have to start talking about who's going to be the next Bachelor.
Yeah.
Connor Cat Guy leading in the clubhouse right now.
I don't think so. People keep saying that. I don't think he's it. I think that if anything, but I don't think he'd do it, but it's a Michael A, because it's such a real sweet story, and we all want to root for that and find him finding love again. Like, don't we so badly want him to fill that void of being widowed? Like, I don't know if I'm the only one, but I'm just looking, I'm like, damn, you need that love, baby.
Especially if he ends up leaving basically because his son is saying, oh, daddy doesn't want to see me. I'm like, they showed that clip, and I was
dead.
Like, dad. You get to a situation where we've seen this before. You just have them have their kid with them, basically, in between dates.
Yeah. Emily did that, and they actually moved to her hometown where she needed to be to film. Like, they invested everything in her. So that could be a move, too, if, you know, Michael A is such an important part. I don't think Connor can carry a season, honestly. Like, I like Connor, and it was a sad goodbye, like, with all the guys, but I think it would be tough to carry a full.
So you don't think that Connor is the how bad of a kisser am I isn't nearly the hook of why am I unlovable?
So it's an interesting point.
Every season needs a hook. Widower or how bad of a kisser am I? It's close.
I'll probably go with the kissing.
We all saw this coming a mile away. Katie's just, she's distraught because she sees what a great guy he is. The fact that he knows what's coming. He sees the truck about to hit him, and he's still more worried about her.
It's a beautiful moment. He takes it beautifully.
Do you have to question, sobbing, heartbroken. And then Blake shows up.
Oh, yeah.
Playing an already pre-cleared song because Lane was on the show. So maybe Butterflies will show up later when...
That's what I'm hoping. Maybe let's go.
The fact that they already have it cleared. So they're like, we don't have to spend any extra money. We already got it cleared. He shows, does the Say Anything, calls him up to her room, and she goes from heartbroken to horny.
Seriously.
That's like Blake Connor, who? Sure. Yeah. Her spice, for sure.
Yeah, that's for sure. There's something there.
He's very... You know what? I'll be honest about Blake. When I saw him in the last season... I was, he comes across far less hunky than he is in real life. He's much more hunky in real life.
Is he?
And I was very surprised.
Maybe
I was
that's
like,
what it is.
By. He's working out. I was like, oh damn, he's a good looking dude in reality. I don't know why I didn't see this as much in his seasons. I was not seeing that. So yeah, I get it. It's there.
Because that could be part of it too. But I always wondered whether it was, you know, because remember, this is already Bachelorette number 3, and I never quite got Blake.
Totally. Yep. Boom. He's getting the superhero edit this season for sure. They're giving him the goods.
And I have to say it's working because it when he first came back, I was on here screaming about how the last thing we need is Blake on a third season. Because if he really wanted to date Katie, he was in her DMs. He could have done it when there were no cameras. All I wanted to do was hate Blake. Yep. I wanted to hate him and hate watch it and just couldn't wait for him to get thrown out. He's been so good.
Yeah.
I know. I wanted to be so annoyed and I'm just not yet. Waiting for it.
Even the makeout session, you know, the first thought again was like, well, that certainly changed quickly. But even by the end, you're thinking, oh, like he could be it.
Yeah. Yes.
Like from me thinking he's going to last a week to, oh crap. He could actually win this.
The passion is there.
Yeah, they definitely have that connection.
I don't know if the love is there, which is we kind of get the tease at the end of this episode of him not being in love. I feel like it's a lot of lust. I don't know if it's love.
I think that might be what do they call it, Katie? The Frankenbite or whatever?
Yeah, Frankenbite.
I think that clip is probably taken out of context.
Of course.
Like we have the every season there's someone gets hurt and they're like, they make some take a comment from somewhere else and be like, oh my God, it's all over. And like, oh no, it's on my toe. I'm fine.
Yeah. They must've been so psyched when they had that Colton moment of him jumping over the wall. That was probably the best season of like, when is this going to happen?
Because yeah, exactly.
That's such a tall wall that he jumps over. How does he do that?
Did you hear he once played in the NFL?
One of my first podcasts when I got into the show was his, and I have he has these great cups for his podcast that he was doing called Coffee with Colton, and I use them every day. They're such good cups. I can't even believe that I still use them.
Did he send you a book?
He didn't send me a book. But I did let him know the other day. I was like, I'm still using these cups every day, dude. I got to find out where you made these.
We get to the rose ceremony, which is not going to have a cocktail hour. She knows what she wants to do, which we've seen from her all season long.
Yep.
Like, done. I'm let's go. Although, as Aaron pointed out, and he got to make one last point before he got booted, was for someone that said they know what they want to do to take Hunter out and then bring him back. It did seem like a game time decision.
It was it. And, you know, there's probably a few hours in between the moment where she does that and the actual ceremony. But it did feel I think it was authentic that she probably really was trying to sort her feelings out because she feels the connection. But yeah, it was a little strange that she was committed and done. And then, nah, I got to last minute do the rose. She's been doing that a bunch, though. I don't know that that's a producer thing or a her thing, but like the fake out, the fake pump, the pump fake. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Ooh. And this rose goes to, just kidding, let's go outside.
Yeah. I have a feeling most of those are her. She seems like, you know, and you were on set, I wasn't, but she seems like someone who just, she's doing what she wants and like just isn't like, you can tell some, and Matt specifically last season, you can see some people are led a little easier, especially when they've never been through the process. Yep. I just get watching, you get the feeling that like, no, she's just doing what she wants.
She's thriving. I think, and I encourage everyone. I think we should all be thriving in our wonderful moments. And this is her season. So I think she should thrive and make her choices and keep it spicy and, you know, tell Thomas you've been unkind and you're out. You know, it's like, let's go, Katie. Be empowered.
And our Katie, I don't know if you had the same reaction as I did, being a historian, but when they unveiled the roses and there were only 6 roses, for the first time all season had an audible gasp that there were going to be that many people cut.
I forget who called it a bloodbath, but it was a bloodbath last night. And I can't believe that Hometowns is already in 2 weeks. Like, I feel like we just started the season. But at the same time, I feel like the season has been going on forever. We usually only get that big of a cut, I feel like, the first night. Like, when you don't know anyone. So it's for a lot of these people. But then again, we did hear that this season did wrap up 1 to 2 weeks early than it was supposed to. So maybe she was just like, I know I don't want any of these guys. I'm cutting them tonight. I'm focusing on these seven. These are the ones that have my attention.
Yeah, she knows what she wants. She's getting through it.
I do find it interesting, though, she went out of her way to say that she doesn't have time for anyone to play catch up or for this drama. But this is already a sped up process, and it feels like she's speeding it up even more, which I don't know if that leads me to believe, okay, much like we've seen, especially lately, she already knows the person, and instead of Claire just taking the person and ending the season, she's going to go through with this, but she already knows who that person is.
Well, here's my hot take, and I've been saying this recently. I've thought it's Greg since the beginning. I think we all maybe we all feel that way. First impression rose, the vibe. And I can only imagine when you know it's you think it's going to be this person, and you really do feel that way, how hard it must be to know as the person, as the Greg, like you have the connection very early, so you've developed those feelings, and then everybody else is starting to get it. And then you watch that, and that probably starts to really eat at you. Because if you start getting them like midway through, you know, I don't envy the guys that get them early on. Because if you bond with the guys and then like, oh, I actually really like this person, you're getting there a little later, so it's not as painful. But for him, he's been feeling it since night one. So she might be a little afraid that he's going to walk if he, you know, starts to feel like, you know, it's too much for him to keep enduring all these other people connecting with her. Cause I mean, that's the show in general. I got to watch the episode early, and my dad had never seen it. I was watching on my laptop. I was like, so they all like, they just date her? That's what the show is? The most hot take dad who's never seen the show. I was like, yeah, I mean, that's basically the vibe. And he's like, and then he saw the part where she said she's falling for Greg. And he's like, does she do that to everyone? Is that? I was like, no, that's like very special. She doesn't say that often. Sometimes they don't say it at all, dad.
You should have done a watch party with your dad.
It was amazing. All the just very frank moments of, yeah, I don't really, this is what this is. But that's kind of the thing. I mean, in the reality, if he really has the feelings, she's probably trying to speed it up so that he doesn't walk. And I hope he doesn't walk. I have a feeling he's going to walk. That's what they're teasing with this. Yeah. That he might bounce out, but you know, I've been thinking it was him since the beginning. So I'm really interested to see what happens next.
And she gets to that point that her version of jumping the fence is book my flight home. I'm done. That's her line that they've been teasing.
Yep.
So if anything could get her to that point, you almost have to think it's Greg.
You have to.
Or the whole Michael A thing too, because she did mention Michael A to Tasia and Caitlin, you know, by name. So He could be right up there.
It's a lot of wisdom. Michael is a lot of wisdom. He's like a life guy. And I think she's an old soul. So she's like seeing both. She's seeing like her. She has a very an interesting dichotomy of the very youthful energy, but then in this old soul. So that's kind of Michael A to me. Old soul versus the youthful energy of Greg.
If Michael decides to go, I think we're going to see that same sort of reaction, not just from Katie, but from the guys, the way they just did with Connor, maybe even more so. If he decides to walk,
my heart will definitely break.
Oh, well, one last thing. I think it's interesting. Who did she get rid of? She got rid of Hunter, Aaron. James, and Trey. And who were those?
The drama and the causes of the drama.
So for all about tell me, who did she get rid of? The people that tattled and the person they tattled on.
Kind of a move, though, even for her. I don't want to think too much into it, but if it were a move for her to see that she doesn't want those people, the people that cause the drama or the people that are the drama. So maybe it was a secret mind trick in the very beginning.
Yeah. Listen, I do love Trey, though, and I hope we see him in Paradise.
Yeah, he's great.
If Trey doesn't not only go to Paradise, but 100% thrive in Paradise, I will be shocked. He is going to crush it there.
So much
and
fun.
He's one of those guys we will see as long as he wants to be on these shows because he's just awesome.
Yeah, he was great. Yeah. I really liked him too. And I love that leopard suit, baby. Let's go.
I mean, how does she not keep him just for that? Don't you want to pin a rose to that?
I just love the idea of him like packing his suitcase at home and be like, one night the leopard suit's coming out.
He almost missed his chance by 1 week.
Thank God.
I wonder if he waited, if he knew this might have been the night he'd have to go. And that was the moment. He's like, it's leopard suit night, baby. It's time to go.
The producer got in his ear. Yeah, there are four people getting cut. Oh, crap. Where's the leopard? That's me. Get me the leopard.
That's me.
Did he think, like, she's going to see me in this leopard suit and it's going to
change her mind?
It's going to change it all.
Who needs a boombox with Lane Hardy? I have this leopard suit.
By the way, do we think that that boombox had any music? And if it did, was it some other music? Because they definitely didn't have the edit of that live version of
No. It was absolutely something else. You should be texting your people at the show to find out, because there's no way he's like, yeah, let me get that Lane Hardy single up on my...
Yeah.
And by the way, let me have a boombox. But secondly, let me get memorized by Lane Hardy up. I mean, maybe he's a big American Idol fan. I don't know. But I doubt that that happened. Max, thank you so much for joining us. I mean, as someone who is now in Bachelor Nation forever, you can't leave.
Oh, I was.
Yeah, once you're in, you cannot get out.
You're part of the family now, and you cannot ever leave, despite what some people try. You can't. You're in it now. You perform Butterflies. It's, like I said, it's already top 20 on iTunes, like, right away. So when people hear it, they love it. Anyone listening to this heard it because they watched the show. But make sure you support our guy. He's in the nation now. So if you don't download it, you don't stream it, you're not supporting Bachelor Nation. So, Max, thank you again.
You don't really like Bachelor Nation if you don't support.
Hopefully we'll have you back. We'll talk about anytime you want. You have an open invite to come and sit and talk about the show.
Honor, guys. Thank you for letting me purge my addiction. It's something I don't get to do often, and I always thrive when I get to now, so thank you.
If we keep adding people like Max to Bachelor Nation, we are no longer going to have to watch performances where we say, who's that?
Yeah, exactly.
Now that we're down to this ridiculous number and almost, like you said, at hometowns.
So crazy.
Justin, Blake, Andrew, Greg, Michael A., Michael P., Brendan. To me.
Poor Brendan. Like, he needs some more camera time, because I honestly never saw Brendan before.
Yeah, so actually, I guess I should have said Justin, Blake, Andrew, Greg, Michael, Mike, Brendan?
Question mark?
Maybe. Yeah. So I think we can all agree it's probably not Brendan. It's certainly probably also not Mike P. And as much as I like Andrew, I don't know that I see that. And I've already said Justin, they look like buddies, and Max sort of agreed that the spice wasn't seemingly there.
Yeah.
So that leaves Blake, Greg, and Michael A. For me.
Those would be my three.
If we're making top lists.
Yeah.
I don't want to get kicked
off. Top fours.
I don't want to get kicked off. I guess the fourth would be Justin, fresh off that date. But I got a lot of friend zone feels from that.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if you agree with that bunch.
Max was there firsthand, and he kind of agreed on that. So I'll stick with him. I'll stick with that decision.
Oh, and so next week we see maybe a second one-on-one for Greg, which they were sort of teasing with the Hunter historian giving his info to Greg.
Yep.
So now that we're moving on with Katie, what else is going on in the world of Bachelor, Bachelorette world?
Few things. Matt and Rachel made their, I guess, red carpet debut at the ESPYs this week.
They sure did.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess you know all our thoughts on that and everything, but they basically just made their debut, not on Instagram.
And listen, the way I feel about it is, if Matt's okay with it, we got to be okay with it. I mean, where are we to say, oh, she did this and it's unforgivable? Listen, I thought it was ridiculous.
Matt can have that say.
Yeah. Clearly, Matt's okay with it. So, okay. God bless.
Yeah. So that happened in sad news, I guess. Josh Murray, we all remember Josh, he and his friends were in a car, and they got hit by a drunk driver.
Oh, no.
I guess some of the people are in critical condition, but he is okay. So, I mean, that's horrible, whether you like Josh or not. But that is a horrible story. In lighter news, I guess, Claire and Dale are now engaged again after breaking up 6 months ago. So they are back to being engaged. Not even back together, like back to being engaged.
And then some people are saying, well, they're already married. So whatever.
Whatever you say.
Just give them their own show and let them enjoy each other.
Yeah. And then this story I saw, which is kind of surprising that it's not a bigger story, that Justin had old tweets resurface that were homophobic and against women of color. So I'm not sure why it's not a bigger deal, but there were multiple articles on it. It wasn't just like one person making up a story. So I was just surprised, I guess, it wasn't everywhere, like Rachel's stuff or Garrett's in the past or, you know, stuff like that. Unless it's just too new to be coming out, but he did speak and say, the common, I have learning to do stuff like that. But I feel like this kind of went under, at least to me, under the radar.
Yeah, no, this is the first time hearing about it.
Yeah. Especially when, Rachel's thing was basically such a huge deal, and everything in the past, with people, old tweets and everything, has been such a big deal. And this was kind of just like, oh, by the way, he had old tweets. All right, let's move on to this episode, which is kind of crazy.
Well, when we talked about last season with Rachel, is Rachel what she did as big of a deal if she doesn't get to the end? And that was sort of, I think, one of the giveaways that, okay, she's in this for the long haul, because it's Chris Harrison going out of his way to defend racist anything, despite what you believe about him.
He's gone next week, and no one's really going to hear about
that's
this.
That's the thing. I have to imagine if Justin was the one at the end, that there would be a whole lot more attention on it and the need for people to play defense and not just him, release the, I'm so sorry for words I used defense. Right. Interesting.
Yeah. So yeah, maybe he's gone soon, and it's kind of just going to fly under the radar. But yeah, that was news. And then obviously Bachelor in Paradise cast revealed.
Oh yeah. Basically everyone that's ever been on the show.
Yeah. Anyone that they could get after the whole debacle of last year. But yeah. And then Victoria P has made headlines with the story that, of how edited her picture was, and that kind of went quote unquote viral, I guess, in Bachelor Nation. But I mean, we all knew that was happening anyway.
I mean,
but yeah, the cast looks, it's a lot of, I think it's a lot of people that we never got to, like, that had a lot of screen time in their season, but also there's, Grocery Store Joe and Ivan and Abigail, we get some of those, but there are a lot of like cast fillers, I would say.
I'm fascinated how this season is going to go, because there are so many people, and I don't know how many episodes they're going to squeeze into this, but I have a feeling it's going to be sort of like the Brendans of the world, where you're like, you were on a season and then they're gone. So right as you're trying to refresh your memory where they're from, they're gone.
And this is, like, as you know, this is Bachelor in Paradise, so this is only the starting cast, I guess what I should say, because we have a lot of people that go in, and I've heard of some people that are probably going to come in. I don't know if that's really considered spoilers or not, but it was just a basic article, so it'll be interesting to see.
Oh, well, nonstop Bachelor Nation stuff until basically the middle of next year. So I mean, get locked and loaded, people, because we're not
so sick of us.
That's it. But at Bachelor Podcast on all socials, because why not? If you're gonna have all this Bachelor stuff, you might as well be informed. We'll be back again next week when maybe Greg gets a second one-on-one. Maybe Michael decides to leave because his child guilts him into it. I don't know. We're gonna find out. But as always, of course, first, thank you to our friend Max for joining us. But as always, our resident expert, not a new expert like Max, but our resident expert, Katie. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we will see y'all next week.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.